Spirit, one God. Amen. We discussed during this convention our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with the opposite gender. And now we'll discuss our relationship with family, and we will focus on two points, our relationship with our parents and our relationship with our siblings. So when we speak about our relationship with our parents, we should remember it is one of the Ten Commandments to honor our parents. As the Lord instructed us, honor your father and mother. This was commandment number 5, exact. This is the 5th commandment in the 10 commandments. And when we speak about honor, we should know that it is the right. It is the right of our parents to receive honor for us. So, the Bible considers it is a sin to disrespect or dishonor our parents. It is a sin if we disrespect or if we dishonor our parents. And let me read with you two verses. The first verse from Romans chapter 1 and verse 30. When St. Paul spoke about some sins, he said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents. Why I'm reading this verse? I want you to think about the category in which St. Paul mentioned disobedient to parents. So he put this sin among what? Among sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents. So he mentioned disobedience to parents among this very, very difficult category of sins. So the Bible teaches us if we disobey our parents, it is a sin. And again, St. Paul said the same thing in the second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 2. And he spoke about disobedience to parents as a sign of the signs of the last days. He said one of the signs of the last days, that children will be rebellion and will disobey their parents. Listen to what St. Paul said. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutals, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. So he's saying in the last day, people will come that will have these characteristics. And he mentioned many, many difficult things. For example, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lover of God, lovers of money. And among this list, he mentioned disobedient to parents. And that's why it was in the Old Testament, those who disobeyed their parents were to be killed. But before we speak about this, we should know that this commandment to honor our parents is the first commandment with a promise. So God gave us a promise if we keep this commandment. And there is a punishment if we don't keep this commandment. How it is with a promise? We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. St. Paul teaches us, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. This is right thing to do, to obey your parents and to honor them. And then St. Paul is quoting the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So, what will happen to me if I obeyed my parents? The promise here has two dimensions. Can you tell me? Long life, what else? Yeah, it will be well with you. So, because you may live long life, but in this long life, it's full of difficulties and full of hard times. But you will live a long life, and this long life, you will enjoy it. You will have it peacefully. So, St. Paul said that it may be well with you. It may be well with you, that's number one, and you may live long on the earth. You may live long on the earth. So, that is the promise given if we honor our parents. And if we don't honor our parents, according to Exodus chapter 21, verse 15 and 17, this son or daughter has to be killed. If we read Exodus 21, verse 15, it says, and he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 17, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So it is a serious matter. It's a serious matter. If the punishment is to kill this person, then it is a serious matter. And we may wonder why God entitled them this right, and why God instructed us to honor our parents. Actually, we are to show respect to our parents because they represent God on earth. We show respect to our parents because they represent God on earth. And that's why we shouldn't only respect our parents, but also we should respect all the elders, all who are older than us. So those who are your biological parents and those who are in the same level like your parents, you should honor them. Let us read Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. The Lord is saying, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. So what this commandment speaks about? You should do what before the gray-headed? You should rise, you should stand, you should rise before the gray-headed. Why? Why you should stand before the gray-headed? It's a sign of respect, sign of honor. You know. So, for example, it's not right to be sitting while an old person is standing. You have to give space to him and give your place to him. You should rise. Again, it is not right to interrupt or to talk all the time, not waiting for the elders to speak before you. Let me tell you a story. One person was going through a difficult time, and four of his friends came to visit him. Three of them were old, and the fourth one was younger. And the fourth one waited and waited and waited to give opportunity to the other three to speak and to counsel the person who is in trouble. And he didn't speak. He didn't speak at all for a very, very long time. Do you know who is this person? You know who I'm speaking about? Huh? The brothers of?
Joseph.
Joseph. Mm. Do you know who's the story?
Job.
Exactly, Job. You know the story of Job? In the story of Job, when Job was afflicted, three of his friends came to counsel him, and they were speaking. And there was a fourth person named Elihu. And he didn't speak at all for about more than 30 chapters. So you can read 30 chapters in the book of Job, and you will not find Elihu said a word. And after they finished all their discourse, and they didn't have anything else to say, Elihu started to speak. And when he started to speak, he started his discourse by saying what? I waited for you to speak because I said that the days speak better. So he considered himself young. How can even he give his opinion in the presence of the elder? So that is the teaching of the Bible. You should rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. Honor the presence of an old man. Honor your school teachers. Honor your Sunday school servants. Honor your uncles. Honor any person who is older than you. Should respect, listen to him, give him opportunity to speak, shouldn't interrupt, shouldn't make fun of them, shouldn't put them down. Why? Because our parents, as I said, represent God. They are God representatives. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, what is the first word in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. So if we address God, our Father, then our parents represent God, because we address our parents, our father, and our mother. So they represent God. When we honor them, then we are honoring God. But if we rebel against our parents, we are rebelling against God. So if we honor them, we are honoring God. And if we rebel against them, we are rebelling God. So that is the first principle of honor. It is an entitled right. The second principle of honor, it is a social matter. What do I mean it is a social matter? What do I mean it is a social matter? We read something, maybe it sounds a little bit strange, in the book of Deuteronomy. When parents have rebellious children, they will bring this child to the whole community. To the whole community. If we read in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. And I'm going to ask you a question, why God gave this instruction? So listen carefully. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, and will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I have a question for you here. Why God instructed to bring this stubborn child to the whole city and put him in the gate of the city so his parents will make their case before everybody? And then everybody participate in stoning the son. Why? Why God didn't say to the parents, if your son is stubborn and he does not listen, go just stone him and kill him and that's it? Why God asked them to bring him to the whole city? Why God made it as a social matter?
So that the rest may also like take an example of what happened to that person and they wouldn't do the same thing.
That's one reason. Setting example before other children. Setting example. What else?
I just think it's killing the child.
It is said. Yes, it is. Okay. And he doesn't listen. And هو هنا, they don't do this from the first mistake. But see the description. If he is a rebellious and stubborn and does not heed the voice of his parent, and he is a drunkard and he is a glutton, which means his parents tried several times to do this, but he just rebellious. Why God instructed to have the whole city kill him? Set an example. What else? There are other reasons other than setting an example. Yes. Exactly. This is a very good point. If you don't know, she said, if you don't know how to respect the authority of your parents, then you will not respect any other authority in the community. And if you don't respect any other authority in the community, so the whole community will be corrupted. The whole community will be filled with rebellious children and people who rebel against the law, people who rebel against every authority. So if the whole community now is full of rebellious children, then it will be a corrupted community. That's why God said you need to get rid of this evil. See the last verse, Rabbina Ali, and then the old men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you. So this is evil. To have a rebellious spirit, this is an evil. This is an evil spirit. And God said, by stoning this person, you are putting away the evil among you. Because as the home goes, so goes the nation. So if we learn how to respect authority in our homes, in our houses, we'll know how to respect authority in the whole nation. But if we don't know how to respect authority in our own houses, we'll never know how to respect authority in or other authority outside the house. So let's speak practically about how to honor our parents. How to honor our parents. Number one, in practice of honor, we should respect their role. We should respect the role of our parents. What do I mean by the word honor? If you look at the dictionary, you will find honor means to respect others as people who carry a great deal of weight in your life. That is honor. So when God asking us to honor our parents means to respect them because they carry a great deal of weight in our life. What do I mean they carry a great weight or deal of weight in our life? As I told you, parents are representatives of God. And God instructed them, God entrusted them to be our teachers and to be our guides. So our parents, in reality, they are our teachers and our guides. There is an Arabic common saying, يعني مثل بالعربي. I'm going to say it in Arabic and then I'll translate it to English. يقول لك إيه؟ الذي علمني حرفا صرت له إيه؟ عبدا. He who taught me one letter, I'll become his servant. Actually, our parents are teaching us not only one letter, but teaching us life. How to be good people, how to be good Christians, how to be good citizens. So if a person who's teaching me one letter, I should be his servant, then how much I honor my parents. If we read Psalm 78, verse 5 to 7, speak about how God entrusted our parents to teach us and to guide us. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. يعني بقول ربنا, God established a law and a testimony in Israel. And God commanded our fathers to do what? That they should make them known to their children. So God instructed the parents to teach their children the commandment of God. God instructed the parents to teach their children the law that God established in Israel, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. It's very clear here that God made it very clear it is the responsibility of the parents to teach the law of God and the word of God to their children. That's why when we speak to our parents, we should address them with respect. And we should, if they asked us to do anything, we should listen to them. As an example, I give you in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Do you know John chapter 2 speaks about what? What's this story? John chapter 2. Huh? Prodigal son. Prodigal son is Luke 15. Exactly. John chapter 2 is the miracle in which the Lord Jesus Christ transformed the water into wine. What is the relation between this miracle and honoring our parents? Can you tell me? Yes. Saint Mary asked the Lord Jesus Christ to help in this situation. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ with his mother and with his disciples, were invited to a wedding. And a problem happened in this wedding. They ran out of wine. So St. Mary came to the Lord Jesus Christ and told him, you need to do something about it. They have a problem. They don't have wine. And the Lord Jesus Christ told her, my hour has not yet come. Which means, my hour is not yet, I shouldn't start right now. But although his hour has not yet come, what did he do? He obeyed her. And he did what she asked him to do. And he transformed water into wine. Which means the Lord Jesus Christ was not stubborn. He didn't tell her, you know what? My hour has not yet come, so just leave me alone. And I know better. I am God, your creator. How you tell me? We read in Luke chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus Christ was submissive to his parents. Was submissive to his parents. And I want you to think about it. The Lord is the creator of St. Mary and Joseph the carpenter. But in spite of this fact that he is their God and their creator, but because according to the flesh, he is their son, so he was submissive to them. And in this, a great lesson to us how to respect their rule. If they asked us to do anything, we should obey and we should respect their authority and their rule. So number one, how to honor our parents, we should respect their rule. Number two, we should value their advice. We should value their advice. Many times we despise the advice of our parents. We speak about them as if they are old fashioned, they are from a retarded third degree culture, this Egyptian culture, and we are here from advanced culture, from American culture. So how the people who came from this retarded country will advise us and tell us what to do? And usually we look down on their advice. I know you are laughing right now, but many, many times we think this way inside our hearts, that we know better than our parents. They don't understand. They didn't grow up in this culture. And we feel very, very proud that we are here and we grow up in America. And we say, I am American. And I want to tell you something here. If you are American, this is because of your parents. Because your parents are the people who immigrated from Egypt to U.S. to make you grow up here and to make you born here. So now, if your parents did this to you, don't take this against them. And don't despise them and put them down feeling proud that you are American and they are Egyptian. You need to value their advice. The Bible instructs us in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. Okay, so if you don't heed your father's instruction, you are foolish. A wise son heeds his father's instruction. What is the opposite of wise? Foolish. Yeah, unwise. Foolish. So if you don't heed, and if you don't listen, and if you don't value your father's and your parents' advice, then you are a foolish daughter. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, St. Paul saying, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. For this pleases the Lord. So when you obey your parents, the Lord will be pleased with you. So it is not only the right, but also this is pleases the Lord. I know sometimes you feel that the Lord is disappointed with you. You say, I know God is angry with me, and I don't know how to make it up. One way to make it up is to obey your parents. Because if you obey your parents, this will make the Lord is pleased with you. And also, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, St. Paul sets a clear boundary to the limits of obedience. He said, children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do. He said, actually, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Which means our obedience to our parents should be part of our obedience to the Lord. And should not contradict with our obedience to the Lord. Should not contradict with our obedience to the Lord. So if my parents asked me to do something against the commandment of God, very politely and very nicely, I should excuse myself. Not in a judgmental way, not by yelling at them and telling them, you don't know the commandment, God said so and so, and you present yourself as more righteous than them. No, very nicely and very politely, you should excuse yourself. But you need to obey them in the Lord. This is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. And you should understand this. You are under their authority. It's not the opposite. God did not say, parents, obey your children. God said, children, obey your parents. So you are under their authority. So number one, you need to respect their... how to honor them. Number one, you need to respect their role. Number two, you need to value their advice. There's another verse in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Keep them as a treasure. Keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Keep them as a treasure in your life. Okay, number three, meet their needs. Meet their needs. What do I mean, meet their needs? Take care of them when you are able to do this. Not only take care of them when they are old and need you, but you can do simple things right now according to your ability. For example, if you're having dinner together and your parents, your mother or your dad, for example, wants a cup of water, it's very nice to go and get him this drink. Instead of you asking your parents to go and prepare, you know, a cup of tea for you or get you some drink, this is not polite and this is not right. And I know many of you, Mom, I need just so and so. And you give order to your mom or to your dad to bring you stuff. This is not right. The opposite should happen. The opposite should happen. Meet their needs. Yes. Yeah, if they do it, that's because they are humble and because they love you. So, but on the other side, and you shouldn't take advantage of this. And Mom, go do this for me, Dad, do this for me. That's not right. علشان كده, in Proverbs 19, verse 26, God is saying, he who robs his father and drives out his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace. He who robs his father. Robs his father maybe of his rights. Robs his father of his rights. And drives out his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace. And as I told the other group about John the Baptist, Archangel Gabriel said to Zechariah that you will have joy because of his birth. So the question that I want each one of you ask yourself, am I a source of joy and happiness to my parents or a source of shame and bitterness to my parents? Zechariah and Elizabeth, when they remember John the Baptist, they were rejoicing and they were happy because of their son. They felt proud of him. But some children are source of bitterness to their parents, and their parents feel ashamed and feel not happy because of their children. I want you to ask yourself this question: am I a source of joy or a source of bitterness? And if I am a source of bitterness, how I can change this to be a source of joy to my parents? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, St. Paul said, if you say that you are a religious person and you are a spiritual person, but you don't take care of your own family, if you don't meet the needs of your own family, then your spirituality is in vain. Your spirituality is in vain. He says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn how to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. So he's saying here, if there is a widow, and widow in the Old Testament, or in the time of St. Paul actually, means he has no support, because the main breadwinner was the man. So a widow means a woman who has no support in her life during the time of St. Paul. And St. Paul say, if there is a widow, and this widow has children or grandchildren, it is their responsibility to take care of their mother or grandmother. And this is acceptable before God. This pleases God. If they don't do this, then they are not religious and they are not spiritual. And the Lord Jesus Christ set an example how to meet the needs of your parents. And I give here the reference, John 19, verse 26-27. Do you know what this reference is about? John 19 is toward the end of the Gospel of John. So, what do you think? Are you, Sandra? Exactly. When he was on the cross. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was dying on the cross. And I'm sure it was very, very painful moments. All the night, he attended 6 trials. 3 civil trials and 3 religious trials. So he didn't sleep all night. And after this, he was scourged and he was beaten up. So he went through many, many sufferings. And after all of this, they nailed him to the cross. And he's about to die. So a person who is going through all this suffering, what do you think? Do you think, should he forget his mother? You know, maybe it is a good excuse. You know, and if the Lord did not remember his mother at this moment, nobody would blame him. Because there is a very good excuse. He went through all these sufferings, but the Lord did not forget his mother, even when he was dying on the cross. And he looked at John the Beloved and told him, John, this is your mother. And he looked at his mother and told her, mother, this is your son. So he took care of his mother even at the moment of his death, after all the sufferings that he faced. So there is a great lesson to us how to meet the needs of our parents even in our difficult time. You don't say, you know, I have exams now, I have my finals, so just leave me alone. Sometimes when your parents ask you to do something, tell him, you know, just now I have my finals, I don't want anybody to speak to me. This is not nice. This is not meeting their needs. The Lord did not say to his mother, I am dying now, just leave me alone. Okay. So he took care of her even at the moment of his death. In the same way, you should respect your parents and to take care of their needs. So we said number one is to... Number four is to affirm their efforts. What do I mean by affirm their efforts? What do I mean? Think about it. Affirm their efforts. Show them what? Help them? Show them appreciation, gratitude. All the time, maybe your parents hearing from you is what? Complain. You are complaining of this and that. That's unfair. That's not right. That's, you know. How many times you said to your parents, thank you? How many times you really show your appreciation to your parents? In Proverbs 23, verse 22, hearken to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Do not despise your mother when she is old. After she raised you, and after now you are a grown-up, and you are an independent person, show appreciation to your father and to your mother. Show them that you really love them, and you really appreciate all what they did for you. Because as I told you, many children, all what they do, they complain and make their parents feel guilty about what they did to you. And this is not the right attitude. When your parents are old, show them your appreciation. Number five, you need to forgive their failings. What do I mean by forgive their failings? Your parents are human beings. So they are not perfect, as you are not perfect. Do you agree on this? So, they may have some failings in their life, as you do have many failings in your life. Don't hold these failings against them. And don't be very judgmental. And don't be very harsh on them. And I hear many youth telling me, I cannot forgive my dad. I will never forget what he did to me. And these words are very, very wrong. Because your parents, yes, they are imperfect. They are human beings. Sometimes they may do something wrong. As you do many, many things wrong. And the simple rule is, to be forgiven, you have to forgive. So if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And we remember this rule every day in our prayer. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You have to be willing to forgive and to forget. And I want you to know that you will never find any person loves you more than your parents. Nobody will love you more than your parents. Even if sometimes they are overprotective, even if sometimes they don't give you the freedom that you want, even if sometimes they don't trust you, even if sometimes they are difficult on you, even if sometimes they're giving you a hard time, but you will never find any person who cares about you and who loves you more than your parents. And you should be willing and ready to forgive their failings, to forgive their failings. Number six, imitate them. What do I mean, imitate them? You know, as I told you about discipleship, discipleship is learning from the lifestyle, from the example. And I want you to imitate your parents in their good lifestyle, in their good virtues. I am sure our parents, any person in the world, have good and bad, has positive and negatives. And I want you to imitate your parents in what they are doing good. For example, you see your parents wake up on Sunday early and go to the church. Learn this. You see your mother waking up in the morning and getting her agbaya and praying. Learn this from your mother. You see your dad, every night he takes his Bible and read from it before he goes to sleep. Learn this from your parents. See what St. Paul said to his disciple Timothy. St. Paul said to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." And I want to ask you a question about this verse. وانت على كانت البايبل استدي بتاعتكم على 2 تيموثي مش كده؟ First? طيب okay. About this verse. St. Paul, he told him, knowing from whom you learned it. And knowing from whom you learned it. From whom? Referring to mean? Not ولا to St. Paul. From whom here? Referring to St. Paul or to Timothy's parents? Timothy's parents. Why? Because he told him, and how from childhood. St. Paul met Timothy when Timothy was how old? Was 16 years old. So here when he spoke from your childhood, he's speaking about his parents, more precisely, his mother and his grandmother. His grandmother and his grandmother. So he's telling him, I want you to continue in what you have learned from your mother and your grandmother. Having firmly believed, knowing from whom, knowing that you learned this from your mother and your grandmother, and from your childhood you have been acquainted with the secret writings of the Old Testament, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So, احنا قلنا لغاية دلوقتي 6 points. هما 7 points how to honor our parents. So, number 1, respect their role. Number 2, value their advice. Number 3, meet their needs. Number 4, affirm their efforts. Number 5, forgive their failings. Number 6, imitate them. Number 7, don't speak bad to or about them. Don't speak bad to them or about them. The 5th commandment forbids injurious acts and disrespectful and unkind speech to our parents. Let me read a verse from Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. So here God is saying, if you don't respect your parents, if you speak bad to them or about them, God will punish you. As he says, the ravens of the valley will pick this eye out, and the young eagles will eat it. So there, you're going to suffer some consequences if you speak bad to your parents or about your parents. So how we speak about our parents among each other, this is very important. This is very important. And in Leviticus, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, or Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9, it says, whoever curses his father or his mother should be put to death. Whoever curses his father or mother should be put to death. And I'm saying this because I see many, many times we don't speak rightly, in the right way, in proper way to our parents. And sometimes we curse them. Sometimes we say bad words to them. And you should keep this verse before your eyes all the time. He who curses his father or mother should be put to death. Not only this, but also in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20, the Lord says, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. What does it mean? What does it mean? His lamp will be put out in utter darkness. This means he has no future, no prosperity in his life, no success in his life, because simply he curses his father or his mother. So, if you are not respectful to your parents, you're going to suffer consequences. As the Bible says, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. So there is no future, there is no hope. So we mentioned 7 points about how to respect our parents, or how to honor our parents. Can we review these 7 points together? Number one, two. I want to hear it well. Number two. Number three. Meet their needs. Number four. Affirm their efforts. Number five. Number six. Number seven. As I told you, when we honor our parents, we will receive many blessings. As we agreed together, this is a commandment with a promise. So it will be well with us and we'll live long life. And as I told you, it is a social matter. So the country or the nation that all the children obey their parents and they are not rebellious, this nation will survive. And this nation will be blessed, as the Lord said, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So this blessing will extend from your own house to the whole land and to the whole country. And the country that all the children, or most of the children, are rebellious, it is not a blessed country. And as St. Paul said, it is the only commandment with a promise. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. دي نقطة بقى مهمة. Honor goes beyond words. Because sometimes we say, okay, and I love my parents. And we say nice words to them. And on the Mother's Day, I send my mom a very nice card. And on Mother's Day, I send my dad a very nice card. And we show love with our parents. But with our attitude, it's different. My behavior is different. So honor goes beyond parents. If honor is not backed up by action, then you are a hypocrite. You are saying just nice words, but your actions does not reflect this honor. And God, as a father, has a problem with his children Israel because of this. In Isaiah 29, verse 13, God was rebuking Israel because Israel was honoring God with their lips, but their hearts were away from him. Israel was honoring God with their lips. They pray, they go to the temple, offer sacrifices, keep all these rituals. But their heart is away from God. And that's why Israel was continually guilty of honoring God with their lips, while their actions made him appear worthless. And not only this, but Israel did some tricks to avoid honoring parents. Do you know one of these tricks? It was mentioned in Matthew 15, 4-6. Can you know this trick that Israel made in order not to honor God? Not to honor their parents? Let me explain it to you and then we're going to read it together. You know it? During the retirement? No. Okay. If a son is taking care of his parents and he provides for their needs, and now he doesn't want to provide to their needs, so how he get around it? To go to his parents and tell them, you know what? The money that I used to give you every month, I'm going to give it to the church. I'm going to give it to the temple. So by saying this, he puts them, you know, as if in a corner. God said we should love God more than our parents. So the money that I used to give it to you, now I'm going to give it to God. Do you think God would accept this? Huh? No, God will not accept this. Yes, you have to pay your tithes. And also you have to take care of your parents. And when you say to your parents, no, the money that I give you now is going to be a gift to God, God will not accept this gift from you. And that's what God said to Israel in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4-6. Elohim, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, the scribes and Pharisees, you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. So, God considered this a hypocrisy. Because instead of saying plainly, I am dishonoring you, no, he said to his parents, I love you and I care about you, but I want to give this gift to God. So, this is a trick so that they will not honor their parents. So, again, honor should go beyond what? Should go beyond words. Honor should go beyond words. In order to summarize, I want you to tell me, and if you listen carefully to the sermon, I want you to tell me four reasons why we should honor our parents. Just these reasons are verses from the Bible. Why we should honor our parents? It is the right thing to do. Very good. Number one. Huh? It's commandment from God. Have authority over us. It's wise. We're going to go to heaven. Let's see what the verses. Let us see the verses. Okay. The first verse, it is the first commandment with a promise. It enables you to live long in the land. It is a first commandment with a promise. Number two, it will be well with you. It will be well with you. So you will not only live long, but you will live well. Number three, it is the right thing to do. And number four, it pleases God. It pleases God. So these are four key. There are more reasons, but why I chose these four reasons? Because the verses are very clear. You're gonna live long. It will be well with you. It is the right thing to do. And number four, it will please God. Now let us go to the second part, with our siblings. with our sibling. Again, as we agreed, we are human being, so we expect to have some contentions together or some conflict together in the family. We with my sister, I with my sister or with my brother, so we'll have some conflicts. And in my own personal opinion, actually, how to deal with our siblings is a great way to prepare ourselves for other relationships. And most importantly, to our future relationship with our spouses when we get married. Because how to deal with your siblings and how to deal with the disagreements with your sibling is a great school in which you learn how to deal with other or how to have a successful relationships with others. So why I'm saying this? Sometimes when you have disagreement with your siblings, you may decide not to speak to them or just to avoid them. And I want to have peace of mind and I'm going to avoid them. If you do this, then when you get married and you have conflict with your husband, you're going to do the same. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to avoid him. And this will end by divorce. But if you learn it right now, how to work out your disagreements and how to compromise and to live together in harmony, then this will help you later on in your marriage how to deal with your disagreements. So through dealing with your siblings, you will learn you will learn how to humble yourself. What do I mean how to humble yourself? By putting others, putting your siblings before you without insisting on your own way all the time. Sometimes you need to put your siblings before you and their opinion before you. And this is a humbling experience. That's how to be like Saint Mary of lowly state, humble by putting others before you. Number two, it will teach you how to communicate, especially when you disagree. So this is a great school of communication. How you communicate and discuss your differences and your disagreements together. Number three, it will teach you to admit your faults and your mistakes. We agreed all of us together that all of us are human beings and we are sinners. Nobody is perfect. There is nothing wrong when you do something wrong to go to say to your brother or to your sister, I am sorry, I did this and this was wrong, and I apologize, and I want you to accept my apology. There is nothing wrong. Actually, it is the good Christian who is able to admit his faults. Number four, it will teach you also how to ask for forgiveness and how to give forgiveness. And how to ask for forgiveness and how to be able to forgive others. And number five, which is very, very important, how to restore a relationship. When your relationship with your sibling gets really very, very bad, what are you going to do to restore this relationship? And this will help you in the future when a conflict between you and your future husband is getting really very bad, how to restore a relationship instead of to end or to break up a relationship. So dealing with our siblings is very important. It's going to teach us many good lessons. How to humble ourselves, how to communicate, how to admit our faults, how to ask, and how to give forgiveness, and how to restore relationship. I'm going to give you quick guidelines. What do you do when there is a conflict or sibling rivalry? I want you, when there is a conflict between you or disagreement, you and your siblings, to understand some boundaries and some limits. What are these boundaries? Number one, no hitting. هي دي طبعا more to the, for the boys يعني. بس انتوا برضو girls ليكوا your own way how to hit each other. Okay. So, number one, no, number two, no saying I hate you. You lost this point. You shouldn't say to your brother or sister at all, I hate you. This shouldn't be in your dictionary, no matter what. So no saying, I hate you. Number three, no bossing each other around. So, go get me a cup of water. No bossing each other around. Okay? Especially if you are the older, if you are the older sister, sometimes you like to boss your sisters and brothers. Now?
You're taking the fun out of it. If we have to, we can do anything.
Now I'm taking the fun out of it, so I will not... So, no hitting, no saying, I hate you. I think, and I pushed the right button. Okay. No bossing each other, and no cut downs. I feel I need no cut downs. Yani, don't put others down. Or avoiding them completely. Or avoiding them completely, or like, I'm not going to speak to you again. So no cut down. So these are four boundaries, four no's you should keep in your mind all the time when you deal with your siblings. I want you to keep these four no's in your mind all the time and in your heart when you deal with your siblings. No hating. No saying, I hate you. No bossing each other around. No cut downs. So what should I do? Memorize Romans 12, verse 10 and verse 17. Memorize Romans 12, verse 10 and verse 17. Be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what's right in the sight of all men. 10. Be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. So if your brother or sister did something wrong to you, don't pay evil for evil. That's what the Bible teaches us. And respect what's right in the sight of all men. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 10 and verse 17. And I want you to memorize this verse. There are two other advices. I'm going to finish. That's the last slide. Don't fuel your competitive spirit. Sometimes, if your parents favor your brother more than you, or your sister more than you, you're going to start to say, Shmana. Arfin Shmana? Shmana then is a competitive word. Arfin Shmana came in what? Shmana? Ish, lahad Lebanani, ish, ma'ana what? Ma'ana, ish, ma'ana da, yani, what is the meaning of that? Why you are giving this privilege to my brother or my sister. Then, now if you have this competitive spirit, you will get into conflict with your brother and sister. And I want you to put the example of John the Baptist, who said, John the Baptist said what? He must increase and I must decrease. He said this about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people tried to trigger the jealousy of John the Baptist and told him, you know what? Jesus Christ is making disciples more than you, and a great multitude is following him and leaving you right now. And how John the Baptist responded to this? By saying, he must increase and I must decrease. If we say this about our brothers and sisters, about our siblings, we will live in peace with them. So even if my parents, I'm not saying that is right, but even if my parents favor my brother or sister more than me, that's fine. If I accept this and if I let it go and I didn't fuel this competitive spirit with me, I will live in peace with my brothers and sisters. Pray for your siblings. And when you pray, I want you to pray for your siblings. Pray about what? Ask God to make them your best friends. Let me tell you. You may have friends, or I'm sure you had friends when you were in primary school. And maybe right now, they are in another state, and you are in another state, and you cannot communicate together. Who are the friends that will remain with you the rest of your life? That's your siblings, your brothers and sisters. And I want you, your relationship with your siblings to be a friendship relationship. To be like friendship. Not only friendship, but you consider your brothers and sisters, they are your best friends. So ask God to make them your best friend. Pray that God will engineer situation where you have to look out for each other. God can make some situation where you need to help, you need each other. So you're going to help each other, support each other. And this will increase the bond between you and your siblings. Pray also that God will convict you how you are hurting each other. When you speak negatively to each other, or when you put each other down, ask the Lord to teach you and to convict you how you are really hurting each other. I know you may have some questions, but keep these questions to our tonight's session because I want you to go now for your lunch and for your free time. خليكم قاعدين لسه we didn't dismiss you. فلسه نتكلم على الاونر. You need to honor those who are older and gray-headed.